Imagine trying to understand, say, London or New York City, but all you've got is this really blurry kind of old map. You'd see the main roads, maybe Buckingham Palace or the Empire State Building, right? But you'd miss all the hidden streets, the cool little shops, the vibe of each neighborhood, and you definitely wouldn't see the crucial invisible stuff like the tube lines or the power grid that actually makes the city work. Now, what if you had a guide that was like street by street, building by building accurate, even showing those hidden connections, the actual molecular fabric of the city? That essentially is the kind of leap we're exploring today. But we're talking about the most complex, most mysterious city imaginable, the human brain. Welcome to our deep dive. Today, we're looking at how some really cutting-edge technology is revealing the brain's incredibly complex molecular geography, specifically, we're zoning in on its lipid landscapes. Yeah, lipids. We're talking about understanding the brain not just by the big structures you can see, but by the actual molecules, the FAS, essentially, that are, fundamental building blocks. They form cell membranes, insulate nerve pathways, store energy, send signals. Lipids are quite literally the brain's fabric and machinery, the stuff of thought, really. Our guide for this journey is a fascinating, really groundbreaking preprint article. It's titled "Mass Spectrometry Imaging and Explainable Machine Learning Uncover the Brain's Lipid Landscapes." This is some amazing collaborative work by Jacob Guildenblatt, Jeroen Stamnas, and Jens Panke. And it's got significant contributions coming out of the Panke lab. They've really pushed the boundaries here. So our mission today is to unpack how these researchers cleverly combined advanced image mass spectrometry imaging with powerful AI, machine learning to create a molecular map of the brain like nothing we've seen before. And this isn't just about making a detailed picture. It's potentially a shortcut, a new way to understand gene structure, function, and maybe even the origins of devastating diseases like Alzheimer's, all based purely on its lipid makeup. What's really compelling, I think, is how they tackled some really tough, longstanding problems in brain mapping.
Absolutely. And it's those challenges, those hurdles that really make this research stand out. We all know the brain is just staggeringly complex. But the traditional ways we've studied its composition, things like basic histology, staining slices, or immunohistochemistry, they have real limits when you want that deep molecular detail.
Okay, so it's not just seeing the overall shape. The challenge is knowing what each tiny bit is made of at a molecular level. What were those older methods actually missing?
Exactly. Often they just lack the spatial resolution. You can't zoom in close enough, molecularly speaking, to see the intricate organization. Think back to your city map analogy. You see a building outline, but you can't tell a coffee shop from a bookstore just by the shape, right?
Right.
And they might not have the molecular specificity either. They can't always distinguish subtle but really crucial differences in the types of cells or molecules present. It's a bit like trying to understand a complex recipe just by seeing a pile of ingredients. You miss how much salt goes where, which spice is in the sauce versus the topping.
Yeah.
You lose all the nuance.
Okay, so then enter mass spectrometry imaging, or MSI. This sounds like the potential game changer. It can identify and map thousands of different molecules, like lipids, right there in the tissue section.
That's the power of it, yes.
But, okay, you mentioned challenges. If MSI is so powerful, what makes using it for mapping the brain so tricky? It sounds almost too good to be true.
Well, the big hurdle is the data itself. MSI data is inherently high dimensional. Think about it. Every single tiny pixel on that tissue image holds information about potentially thousands of different molecules. It's like having this overwhelming flood of data points. Just looking at it raw, it's almost impossible to make visual sense of it all.
Right, data overload.
Exactly. And then there's the annotation problem. Generating accurate, detailed labels for all the different brain regions directly from that molecular data without just relying on, say, an MRI image or a standard stained tissue slide laid on top, that's been a huge challenge. Because many of the really fine brain substructures, the little nuclei and layers that are critical for function, they're simply not visible on those standard external images.
Ah, okay. So if you just use an MRI as your guide, you might be missing key molecular details that the MSI is actually picking up.
Precisely. You'd be essentially blind to some of the most important molecular variations that MSI can reveal. You need a way to interpret the MSI data on its own terms.
So how did Jacob Guildenblatt, Jeroen Stamnes, Jens Panke, and the team at the Panke Lab, how did they crack this? How did they handle that data complexity and the annotation issue?
This is where their key innovations come in. It's really clever stuff. They developed a pipeline called MSI-ATLS. Think of it as a a customizable toolkit specifically designed for integrating the annotation and the analysis of this complex MSI data. A really important part of that is a tool called MSI Visual. This combines several different ways of visualizing the data to actually reveal subtle anatomical features directly from the MSI signal itself. So it reduces that reliance on external, often less detailed, references.
Okay, so MSI Visual helps you see the structure within molecular data.
Exactly. But the real engine, the star of the show, is what they call the Computational Brain Lipid Atlas, or CBLA. This is a really novel approach. It uses a graph-based structure and visual explainability methods. Basically, it helps you explore the molecular data in an interpretable way and understand the relationships between all those detailed annotations you've made. It's the tool that helps transform that overwhelming high-dimensional data into actual biological insights. It connects the dots.
All right, so they've built these powerful tools, MSI Atlas, MSI Visual, CBLA, to capture and make sense of this incredibly rich data. How did they then, you know, actually build the map? What was the raw material?
The raw material was, well, an incredibly deep MSI lipidomic data set. They generated this from four whole mouse brain hemispheres. And crucially, this wasn't just normal mouse brains. They included control mice, yes, but also APP transgenic mice. These are mice specifically engineered to model Alzheimer's disease. They developed those characteristic amyloid beta, or AT, plaques.
Ah, the Alzheimer's model mice.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they also included ABCA7 knockout mice. Now, the ABCA7 gene is known to be a major genetic risk factor for Alzheimer's in humans. It's involved in lipid transport and clearing waste. So by knocking out this gene, they created a model to see how its absence affects the brain's lipid landscape, which could give clues about how it contributes to disease risk.
Got it. So controls, an Alzheimer's model, and a genetic risk factor model. A really comprehensive set.
Very comprehensive. And the resolution they achieved is just remarkable. We're just looking 20 by 20 micrometers per pixel, tiny little squares. And within each square, they captured over 20,000 different features. These are Meloz values, mass to charge ratios, essentially a unique molecular fingerprint for potentially thousands of different lipids and their variations.
Wow, 20,000 features per tiny pixel. That's an unbelievable amount of data.
Yeah.
So how did they turn that dense, complex cloud of data points into a map that actually, you know, means something? A map researchers can actually use and interpret.
Yeah, that's where the expert-guided annotation comes in. And this was absolutely critical for training the machine learning models that underpin the CBLA. A specialist neuropathologist in this case, Jens Planke himself from the Planke lab, meticulously drew 191 polygon annotations directly onto the MSI data visualizations using their MSI visual tool.
So he was drawing regions right onto the molecular picture itself.
Directly onto the molecular data, yes. He used the well-known Allen Mouse Brain Atlas as a general guide, but the key is that the boundaries were defined by the molecular patterns seen in the MSI data, not just copied from a standard atlas. And this wasn't a one-shot deal. They described it as an iterative refinement process, constantly guided by the CBLA itself.
How does that work? The atlas guides the annotation.
Yeah, it's like having this feedback loop. The CBLA highlights areas where the molecular data suggests a boundary might be slightly off, or where a region seems to contain distinct subregions based on lipids. So the tool itself helps the expert improve the quality and the granularity, the detail of the annotations. They even found it helped detect previously unknown subnuclei, tiny structures that weren't in the standard atlases because they aren't obvious without this molecular view.
That's amazing. So the AI helps the human expert make an even better map.
Precisely. And this painstaking work ultimately mapped the lipid composition to 123 distinct brain region types, a huge leap in detail compared to what was often possible before.
Okay, 123 distinct regions defined by their lipids. That's incredible. Incredibly granular. So tell me more about the CBLA itself, this Computational Brain Lipid Atlas. How does it actually organize all this information and show relationships?
Right. So at its heart, the CBLA is visualized as a graph. Think of it like a network map. Each of those 123 annotated brain regions is a node, a point on the map. And the really critical part are the edges, the lines connecting these nodes. These edges aren't arbitrary. They represent the molecular similarity between regions. This similarity is calculated based on how well the machine learning models can tell those two regions apart just by looking at their lipid profiles.
Okay, so if two regions have very similar lipid makeups, the model has a harder time distinguishing them.
Exactly. And the CBLA visualizes this. They use colors.
Yeah.
Green edges suggest strong biological links, regions that are very distinct but share some underlying molecular relationship, perhaps related to function or connectivity. Red edges, on the other hand, might highlight regions that are so similar molecularly that the models get confused. This could point to areas where the annotation might need further refinement, or it might indicate that two anatomically separate areas actually share a very profound, perhaps unexpected, biological signal within the same larger structure.
Gotcha. So green means distinct but related. Red means maybe too similar or needs a closer look. So the CBLA isn't just plotting data points. It's showing us molecular relationships between different parts of the brain.
Precisely. It's mapping the molecular kinship between brain regions. And to make this easier to see, because remember, we started with thousands of dimensions of data, they use a powerful dimensionality reduction technique called UMAP.
UMAP. Okay, I've heard of that. Uniform manifold approximation and projection.
That's the one. It takes those high-dimensional lipid profiles for each region and essentially arranges them in a 2D map, a bit like a scatter plot, where regions with similar molecular signatures naturally cluster closer together. It makes the complex patterns visually interpretable. And one more technical point, but it's important for accuracy. Dealing with Mila's values from MSI isn't always straightforward. Sometimes the signals can be a bit ambiguous, so they use something called Gaussian mixture models to resolve the full precision Millisev values. Think of it like sharpening the focus on each molecular signal, making sure they're accurately identifying and distinguishing between lipids that might have very similar masses. It boosts the reliability significantly.
Okay, that makes sense. Sharpening the molecular signals for a clear picture. So let's bring it back. What does this all mean for us practically? This isn't just about creating, you know, technically impressive maps. It's about finding hidden patterns that tell us something new, right?
Absolutely. It's about translating this incredibly rich, complex data into actionable biological knowledge. And to help bridge that gap to make the insights more accessible, they also developed two cool visualization tools. One is virtual landscape visualizations, or VLVs. These let you pick a specific lipid, a specific MILD value, and see how its concentration varies across all the different brain regions, almost like a topographical map showing peaks and valleys of that lipid's abundance.
Oh, cool. So you can track individual lipids.
Exactly. And the other is virtual pathology stains, or VPS. This is really neat. They essentially use the lipid data to computationally generate images that look like traditional histological stains that pathologists are used to seeing. So if a pathologist knows what, say, a myelin stain looks like, the VPS can generate a similar image based purely on the distribution of myelin-associated lipids detected by MSI.
Wow. Okay. So it translates the molecular data into a visual language that doctors and researchers are already familiar with.
Precisely. It makes the invisible molecular world visible and crucially understandable by connecting it back to established methods. It's a very smart way to bridge the gap.
Okay, so Jacob Guldenblatt, Jeroen Stamnes, Jens Pankhi, and the Pankhi Lab built this incredible molecular mapping system.
Uh-huh.
Let's get to the payoff. What did they actually find? What surprising insights did this new molecular microscope reveal about the brain?
Well, one of the first big takeaways was that the CBLA robustly confirmed that, yes, anatomically and functionally related brain regions do share characteristic lipid profiles. Regions known to work together showed molecular similarities and distinct functional areas clustered separately based purely on their lipids. So it validated the approach against known biology.
Okay, so it lines up with what we generally know, which is reassuring.
Mm-mm.
But I hear there was a finding that really challenged the standard anatomical view, something that made people go, huh, that's unexpected.
Yes, indeed. This was a really striking example of how molecular identity can sometimes trump traditional anatomical labels. They found that one specific layer of the cortex, layer 6 or CTXL6, actually clustered very closely with structures in the brainstem on the CBLA map.
Wait, cortex clustered with the brainstem. Anatomically, they're quite separate parts of the brain. How does that work?
Exactly. Anatomically, you wouldn't group them. But molecularly, based on their lipid signatures, they were surprisingly similar. And this wasn't an error. It highlights that CTXL6, although part of the cortex, is incredibly rich in myelinated tracts, the insulated wiring and neuronal processes projecting downwards. Its actual molecular makeup, its lipid composition, is functionally more akin to the heavily myelinated structures found in the brainstem than to some other cortical layers. So the CBLA revealed its true molecular nature, which transcends its simple geographical location in the cortex. It tells a deeper story about its composition and likely its function and connections.
That's fascinating. It's like judging a neighborhood by its actual function and residence, not just its address on a map.
Yeah.
Okay, now this is where it potentially gets really impactful for health. What did the CBLA show about those pathological structures, the aplacs in the Alzheimer's model mice?
This is a really critical application, and the results were profound. The CBLA allowed them to dissect the lipid composition of individual app plaques with unprecedented detail. And what they found was really interesting. These plaques aren't just, you know, inert clumps of protein. They seem to actively incorporate specific lipid signatures that originate from the brain regions surrounding them, like the cortex and hippocampus, where plaques are common in Alzheimer's.
So the plaque's chemical makeup reflects the neighborhood it grew in.
In a way, yes. It suggests their molecular profile isn't uniform, but is influenced by and perhaps interacts with the specific lipid environment of the brain region they inhabit. It implies a much more dynamic interplay between the plaque and the surrounding tissue than previously appreciated. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, this research, really for the first time, allows us to quantify the molecular relationship between the plaques and their local environment. It offers completely new clues about how Alzheimer's might progress differently in different brain areas. For example, they highlighted one specific lipid signal, MILV795.5195. It was strongly present in plaques, as expected, but interestingly, it was also found quite strongly in the supramammillary nucleus, part of the hypothalamus, and the choroid plexus, which produces cerebrospinal fluid. This hints at potentially complex, widespread molecular changes or connections related to plaque pathology that we didn't fully understand before.
Wow. So it's not just what a plaque is made of, but how its composition relates to and is maybe shaped by its specific location in the brain. That's a fundamental shift.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what about mapping normal brain function? Did the CBLA reveal anything about functional networks?
It did, yeah. They discovered what they termed index lipids. These are specific lipids or patterns of lipids whose distribution across the brain seems to correlate strongly with known functional anatomical networks. They gave the example of the extrapyramidal motoric network, a system of nuclei deep in the brain involved in controlling movement. They found that different nuclei and connection points within this network shared characteristic index lipids.
So the lipids act like molecular tags for a specific functional circuit.
Almost, yeah. Like a chemical signature for that functional system. You could almost imagine using these index lipids to color code the brain's wiring diagram based on function. And this is really important because it could help explain the vulnerability of specific networks in certain diseases. Why does Parkinson's primarily hit motor circuits first? Maybe it relates to the specific molecular environment the lipids present in those areas. This provides a new angle to investigate that selectivity.
That is incredibly powerful. Molecular fingerprints for brain functions.
Yeah.
Amazing. And I understand they also did some really deep dives into specific complex brain regions.
Yes, they showcased the power of the technique in several areas. For instance, in the hippocampal formation, absolutely critical for memory and heavily affected in Alzheimer's, the CBLA revealed really organized, distinct lipidomic structures corresponding to its different subfields like CA1, CA3, dentate gyrus. Real intricate detail. They also looked closely at brainstem nuclei. These are small, deep structures, often hard to study, but vital for many functions and implicated in diseases like Parkinson's, MSA, and Lewy body dementia diseases, often involving the protein acetylnuclein. The CBLA showed these nuclei have unique lipid compositions. Some lipids were enriched in very specific nuclei, like the supramammillary nucleus, SUM, or the subcaruleus nucleus, and they even saw molecular links suggesting connections back up to specific cortex layers. This opens doors to understanding the molecular basis of vulnerability in these regions.
So real potential for Parkinson's and related diseases there.
Definitely. And they also characterized white matter tracks the brain's insulated cabling. They identified lipid signatures specific to this white matter, which makes sense, as myelin insulation is primarily made of lipids. This provides a baseline for studying diseases that affect myelin, like multiple sclerosis.
And circling back to the disease models, how did the Atlas perform with those ABCA7 knockout mice, the ones modeling a genetic risk factor for Alzheimer's?
That was a key validation. The CBLA clearly visualized region-specific differences in lipid profiles between the normal mice and the ABCA7 knockout mice. Remember, ABCA7 is involved in lipid transport. The Atlas showed distinct changes in the abundance and distribution of specific lipids, highlighting molecules whose patterns seem dependent on ABCA7 function. These could be lipids that are directly involved in how ABCA7 dysfunction contributes to Alzheimer's risk, or they might represent downstream consequences or even compensatory changes. It gives researchers very specific molecular targets to investigate further in the context of this important risk gene.
This is just, it's truly phenomenal work from Jacob Gildenblatt, Jeroen Stamnes, Jens Ponke, and the Ponke Lab. This deep dive really shows that MSI, Even just focusing on lipids for now can uncover brain anatomy with incredible detail. It feels like a foundational tool for a whole new era of biological exploration. You could argue it's the first really large-scale, intelligible map of how lipids are distributed across so many distinct brain regions.
Okay, so this is where it really hits home for potentially everyone listening. This isn't just a fancy map for scientists. It feels like a new lens for discovery. Why should you, our listener, really care about mapping these lipid landscapes? What's the so what here?
That's the crucial question, isn't it? What's the relevance beyond the lab? I think this approach offers a potential shortcut to those aha moments in understanding brain function and perhaps more importantly, brain disease. It provides entirely new avenues for figuring out the origins and the progression of devastating neurodegenerative diseases like Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and others. Imagine identifying unique lipid signatures that appear before symptoms, acting as early warning signs. Or using these detailed maps to develop better diagnostic tools that can pinpoint disease subtypes or track treatment effectiveness at a molecular level, or even designing more targeted therapies that address specific lipid imbalances implicated in a disease process within specific brain networks. By understanding these molecular addresses, we get closer to personalized medicine for these incredibly complex brain disorders.
That is a really powerful and frankly hopeful vision, moving towards prediction and precision. But as with any cutting-edge science, there must be limitations, areas for improvement, and future directions. Where does this go next?
Oh, absolutely. Science is always iterative. Some challenges definitely remain. For example, precisely resolving all Millinus values, especially for lipids that are very similar in mass or structure, can still be tricky. And refining the annotations in brain regions that are extremely similar molecularly, distinguishing those very subtle differences, that continues to be an area of focus. Looking ahead, the researchers themselves suggest possibilities. Incorporating spatial information, more formally, spatial priors, could help improve boundary definitions. And using even newer mass spectrometry technologies like timsTOF, that's trapped ion mobility time of flight, could add another dimension of separation, enhancing the precision and accuracy even further.
For even better resolution, more molecular detail.
Exactly. And the really exciting long-term prospect, I think, is expanding these kinds of tools and atlases to integrate other molecular layers. Imagine combining this lipid data with maps of proteins, proteomics, or metabolites, metabolomics, from the same tissue section. That would give us an incredibly rich multi-omics picture of the brain's complete molecular architecture, a truly systems-level understanding.
A multi-layered molecular map of the brain. That's quite a future to contemplate. Okay, let me leave you, our listener, with a final provocative thought to mull over. Imagine a future, maybe not too distant, where a detailed molecular map of your brain's unique lipid landscape could predict your individual risk for neurodegenerative diseases. Or perhaps even guide personalized treatments, lifestyle changes, maybe interventions years before any symptoms even appear, offering a real chance to change your brain's trajectory. This deep dive into the brain's lipid landscape, pioneered by researchers like Jacob Guildenblatt, Jeroen Stamnise, and Jens Punky, leveraging the power developed in places like the Punky Lab, it really feels like just the beginning of that extraordinary and deeply personal possibility.